Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to Dragoncast, home of House of the Dragon. Gather your small council, send out your ravens and call in your bannermen. I'm Hand of the King, Jaime East, here to guide you through the insane world of Westeros and beyond.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday the 13th of March, and you're listening to Dragoncast. I'm Jaime East.
And I am Chris Mandel.
There he is, stood on the steps, flinging shit at the mother of the king.
Do you know what? It would be really, not to be an absolute misogynist, but oof. If someone was walking down the street naked, it would, and you had a rotten tomato in your hand, it would be hard not to throw it at them.
I mean, exactly. It's a sitting duck, isn't it? It's a sitting duck.
Yeah.
Although, but yeah, to reach behind, squeeze one out, and fling that at them, I'm not sure that would.
Sure. To get your cock out to sort of humiliate her, Why would you do that?
Yeah, precisely.
You know, precisely. I'm just one part of a baying mob. Like, I just love yelling. Love shouting.
Yeah, in a baying mob, just, I'd be 10 rows back, kind of like, go on, right behind you, yeah. Go on. Yeah.
Exactly. I just can't help it. So what I'm saying is I'm a spineless little weasel, and that would have been me. Yeah, that would have been me.
We're jumping way ahead of ourselves. To those that are listening, it is season 5, which is part of our Game of Thrones rewatch. We're a season 5 finale, season 5, episode 10, Mother's Mercy. Yeah. We'll start talking about that in just a sec. But before we do, just a few housekeeping bits and bobs. We've got a Last of Us special coming up. Here's what's happening this week. Today, as you are listening right now, Game of Thrones rewatch. Job done. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, you're going to have a Last of Us special. And that is going to feature Chris Mandel, who's playing Ellie, and I'm playing Joel. kind of doing a bit of a wrap-up of the whole season. Season 1 finale aired today, Monday the 13th. And excitingly, we've got Tommy, Gabriel Luna, who plays Tommy in the series, stopped by for a chat last week, and that was good, so we're going to whack that in as well. Good to catch up with him. Then, bit of news, we're doing a Succession one, as we've kind of alluded to, but it's got a logo, it's got a photo. If you've head over to our Twitter page at Dragoncast_pod to see more Chris Mandels than you will ever need in your life.
More than anyone could need. I am all of your wretched children in this analogy.
Don't tell me you didn't look at the version of you as Shiv and go, I really rock shoulder pads quite well.
Well, listen, I have what I call a Shiv Roy turtleneck in my wardrobe that I like to bust out for special occasions. But sometimes, because, you know, like, if you look, I don't know if you've seen any red carpet stuff, but like, all the men are wearing these like high-waisted, slightly flared trousers, and I'm a bit like, I need to go to the women's section in Uniqlo and get. Like, that's the vibe now. It's like these kind of Shiv Roy power pants.
The Ted Lasso premiere was a perfect example of that. Yeah. I think we've probably looked at the same guy's outfit. The guy that plays the reporter for The Independent in Ted Lasso, who was also the receptionist in I'm Alan Partridge.
Oh my God, he was looking.
I don't know. I know his wife, Kate Quinton, who presents like Food Unwrapped with Jimmy's Farm, with Jimmy Doherty.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, it's Ben from Alan Partridge.
Yeah.
He worked at the Travel Lodge. The guy from the Travel Lodge.
He's had such a fucking glow up. And honestly, the pair of them, you know that meme with Tilda Swinton and who's your man? Who's the guy that played Hannibal in the series?
Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, Mads Mikkelsen. You know the famous meme of Tilda and Mads where it's just like, hey, these two have stopped at the bar and asked if I'm into swinging. I'm kind of like, hey, why the hell not? Kate and your man from Ted Lasso had very much those vibes. They were like, you would not be able to resist. You'd have to be kind of like, well, fuck it, in for a penny.
It's like, we want to invite you to a sex party on Friday and then we want to recruit you into our cult on Saturday.
Mm. Help me out of these heavily lined, almost tapestry high-waisted flares. It's like, sir, I will do whatever you tell me to do. Exactly.
So we've got all of which is to say, Succession Pod is coming.
Yes, sorry, yeah. It's called A Sound of Succession. It's going to be on the same feed. You don't have to do anything. We will still be doing our Game of Thrones stuff, as per. Mm-hmm. We will have done OA by then. OA will have been wrapped up by then. So you'll just have two episodes a week, but I'm really looking forward to getting into Succession again.
Oh, my God. Can we say on the pod, I haven't talked about this, are you going to The Thing?
I'm going to The Thing.
You're going to the thing? Okay. I'm going to The Thing, yeah.
Okay. Angela Bassett. And Jamie and Chris are doing The Thing.
Did The Thing. Yeah. Okay, can't say anymore. I'm so excited for Succession. I just can't wait. It's just so good to have it back. I'm really excited. And, you know, when it finished, season three finished, I was like, this wait is going to be agonizing. But there's been so much good telly to keep
it's
us going
bad,
that you almost forget.
Exactly.
So, but I'm so excited.
I am too. And fair play, I don't want to jinx it, but I think we might be getting a few other people from Succession.
Yeah, I also heard whisperings of that on the grapevine.
Maybe getting a few of the people from Succession on the podcast, but stay tuned for that. But fair play to Jesse Armstrong for calling it a day at season four. So this is the kind of like snuck up, like sneak announcement, just went, actually, this is the last one. And I'm kind of hoping that's because they kept it secret rather than they just decided after they'd made it. Because I've no doubt it will be planned and written and performed to perfection.
Yeah, it's very. We haven't really talked about this yet, have we? But I thought absolutely makes sense. I could have seen them doing five because I thought HBO would want as much as possible, and it felt like season three and the pandemic sort of writ large did disrupt the momentum of the show. And I still think I think it still is sort of trying to come back from that season two kind of high. And I just think maybe Jesse just figured out four was the smartest way to do it. Having said that, I think it's so weird that it was never marketed as the final season. And in fact, he dropped the news in a New Yorker interview. Like, that was so weird. And it's only now the final trailer is like, oh yeah, it's the final season.
Yeah. But what did, I mean, I think he stole a march on everybody and just announced it. I think there may have been a plan. But actually, Jesse and fucking hell, who's your man that plays Kendall? What's his name? Jeremy Strong. They've got a nice relationship with the New Yorker, right? Because there's a friendship thing there going.
Yeah, and I think also
it's their preferred outlet of choice, right?
If you're going to break the story, and it's from the sounds of things, he like they got in touch with the New Yorker and said, "We want to announce it. Can we do an interview?" Yeah. That's the other thing I thought is maybe they got ahead of it because they were worried it was going to leak. But it's like, I mean, it's not like. I don't know. It's not like the Watergate scandal. Like, it's not a bad thing to make.
But I think it's nice to prepare people that it's going to be the last one. Imagine if we got to like, I don't know how it ends. Imagine if we got to like episode 10 and just like Logan just dies and that's and then they say that was the last one. We'd have been fuming.
I think there's a case to be made though that three finales so far could have ended the show. Like that last one where they all get fired, that would have been an amazing way to end the show. Season two, Kendall goes to war with his dad. That could have been a cool way to end it. Season one, where Kendall comes back into fold after killing that waiter.
Mate,
they could all
have ended it after if they'd have ended it with that press conference at Kendall. I'd have fucking took to the streets.
Forget, I know, but it would have been like, such a good fuck you. Like, if you watch the thick of it, like, that didn't need to end with it.
I don't want
to
be a fuck you. I want to be satisfied.
I think it would be good.
Anyway, so what we're going to do is that's coming out, I think, March 27th, my birthday. So I think the week before that, we're going to do, like, a big old Succession chat. We might get some guests on. There'll be a wrap up of where we're up to. We've got it covered. So stay tuned for that. Stick it in your calendar. We'll do that. Shall we head back to Westeros? I feel like we're cheating on our Thrones buddies a bit too much. Okay, right. Game of Thrones, season 5, episode 10, Mother's Mercy. You know the drill. If you're not up to speed on everything, here's a 5-minute recap from our sister podcast previously on to give you the lowdown. We begin at Stannis' camp, where the weather is much improved. Melisandre believes this was because of sacrificing Shireen, but her death has also appalled Stannis' troops and nearly half of them have deserted in protest, shocking Melisandre. One of the remaining soldiers takes Stannis to a tree, where Selyse, Stannis' wife, has hanged herself in grief. As Stannis looks at his wife's body, news arrives that Melisandre has left. Stannis is utterly alone, but still orders his men to press onwards to Winterfell. At Castle Black, Jon Snow reluctantly agrees to send Sam, Gilly and her baby to Old Town so that Sam can become a maester. As Stannis' army approaches Winterfell, Sansa uses the corkscrew she stole to pick the lock on her room. Outside the castle, Brienne awaits Sansa's signal from the Broken Tower. Podrick brings her news that Stannis' army is nearby. As there's no candle in the Broken Tower, Brienne decides to take the opportunity to kill Stannis and avenge Renly Baratheon as promised. Moments after she leaves, Sansa arrives at the Broken Tower and lights a candle, unaware that Brienne left agonisingly moments before. Stannis' army is vastly outnumbered by the Bolton cavalry, who charge before he can begin his planned siege. The Boltons are victorious, and Stannis' leg is severely wounded. Brienne finds him collapsed, so she executes him for the murder of his brother. Sansa is found on the walls by Miranda and Theon. Miranda tries to shoot Sansa with her bow, but Theon finally breaks free of Ramsay's psychological control and pushes her off the wall. The Bolton army returns to the castle, and Sansa and Theon realise they've got to escape quickly. They jump from the walls, not knowing if they'll survive. In Braavos, Arya takes the face of a child from the House of Black and White, using it to access Meryn Trant in the brothel. When alone, she stabs his eyes out and confronts him for the murder of her fighting instructor, Cirio Forel, before revealing her true identity. Afterwards, Arya is confronted by Jaqen and the Waif. Jaqen says that by killing Trant, Arya has taken a life she wasn't supposed to, and the debt to the many-faced god must be repaid. He drinks from a vial and collapses. As punishment for Arya using the child's face before fully renouncing her identity, she loses her sight. Jaime, Bronn and Marcella leave Dorne with Tristane Martell, and Ilaria kisses Marcella goodbye. On the boat back to King's Landing, Marcella tells Jaime she knows and is glad that he's her father as well as her uncle, but she collapses and dies in his arms. It's revealed Ilaria poisoned Marcella with her lipstick. In Meereen, Daario and Jorah set out to find Daenerys, who is still missing after her escape flight on Drogon. Tyrion stays to help govern Meereen in Daenerys' absence, and Varys arrives in the city and offers Tyrion the use of his spy network. Thousands of miles away, Daenerys tries to get Drogon to fly her back to Meereen, but he's wounded from the Sons of Harpy's arrows and refuses to budge. Daenerys goes in search of food and ends up surrounded by a group of Dothraki. In King's Landing, Cersei has to confess to committing adultery with Lancel Lannister, her cousin, but doesn't admit to sleeping with Jaime or plotting Robert Baratheon's death. The High Sparrow allows her to return to the Red Keep, but says she has to face trial for her other sins. The Septers cut Cersei's hair short and make her walk naked through the streets of the city. To the ringing of a bell and the cry of Septerunella's shame, the citizens of King's Landing have their moment and pelt her with fruit and feces, calling her names and spitting in her face. After Cersei arrives to the safety of the Red Keep, Qyburn shows her the newest member of the King's Guard, the reanimated corpse of the Mountain. At Castle Black, Davos begs Jon to send Stannis aid, but Jon refuses. Melisandre arrives in a downcast mood, and the men realise that Stannis has been defeated and Shireen is dead. Later that night, Ollie rushes to tell Jon that a wildling has spotted his uncle Benjen and takes him to meet him. In the courtyard, however, Jon finds a sign that says traitor. He's then stabbed repeatedly by his Night's Watch brothers, including Alyssa Thorne, and finally Ollie dealing him the fatal blow. We end the season watching Jon Snow dying alone in the cold.
I know we've said this quite a lot in our rewatches, Chris, but fuck a duck. Was there anything that didn't happen in this episode? Mrs. East, who normally just ignores me as much as she possibly can, kind of like called over while I was watching this, saying, bloody hell, did this happen as well in this episode? It was just relentless, wasn't it? It was
a lot of everyone got a cliffhanger ending, or everyone got an ending, which I think is both a brilliant idea and also, I mean, it was... I loved it because there was so many exciting things, but then I was also like, God, what an oversaturated episode of television. Like,
it was an assault on the senses, wasn't it? Because it was. You say, everything was a final scene.
It was like, you know, those Padron peppers that you get where like 1 in 20 is supposed to be really spicy. It was like 1 in 20 is mild.
So spicy. Yeah.
It was like that. You just think, oh, this next scene is going to be a sort of character led bit. No, Theon and Sansa are jumping off the wall.
Yeah.
Okay, this bit's going to be quiet. No. Arya's
blind.
This has happened now.
Yeah.
Arya's, oh my God. So I thought, it was a shit ton going on.
Yeah.
Not a lot of it worked for me, but I also think, like, we were talking about, we've talked about before with these rewatches that, like, 1, 2, and 3 seem part of this, like, arc or era or saga.
Yeah.
And I sort of thought 4, 5, and 6 were part of the same sort of saga, but I actually feel like 5 is the end of an era because this is all the book stuff they've got. That's why it's so stuffed. They've just gone, we don't know what else happens. We'll just have to get everything in.
Get everything in and start afresh with season 6.
Yeah. And I know last week I was like weirdly surprised at how much I was excited about season 6. But this is where they have to really figure out how to make this TV show without, you know,
without George.
25% of a map and some of it's smudged and some of it's got, you know, wine stain on it. And I do think season 6... And we'll find out next week when we actually start watching it again. I think it is better for it because they're not going, well, we'll have to get this bit in with Jamie and we'll have to get this bit in with Brienne. And, you know, I think it's a bit more liberated going forward.
Yeah.
And this feels like the end of a certain kind of point in the show where they're like so trying to hit the same beats. But a lot of the things that happen in this episode only happen because they need to happen.
Yeah. No, I think that's...
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's a good academic kind of... summarization of this as a from a behind the scenes point of view, you're right, and that is that is why it, they've just thrown everything at it. I mean,
everything.
I like it's so difficult even to. What was the highlight for you? Which was your highlight?
The Walk of Shame is good. You know, that's like 20 minutes
it's pretty
of
iconic,
like
right?
character. Yeah. It's really intense. It's long. It's kind of luxuriates in just how much, you know, you feel every step of that walk and you see the keep and it's not rushed. And I loved that. So I thought that was...
Lena Headey's performance.
Yeah. Great. But even then they're sort of like, oh, we have to introduce, Sir, what's the guy called? Sir...
Qyburn?
No, Sir Robert Strong. No. The undead guy. Even then, she has this amazingly powerful moment and they have to go, he's here and it's clearly that guy that died last season, but we're not going to explain it. And you get this cliffhanger moment and it's...
The Mountain, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'm sure it is on the show. Yeah, they call him Sir Robert Strong.
We got told off. I apologise in advance because we got told off this week, Chris.
Oh, for doing book stuff?
No. Someone was very cross with us, actually.
What?
I may as well mention it now because I got so... What? Because I did get tongue-tied. Are you ready for this, Chris? It's going to hurt.
Is it?
No.
Okay.
Well,
go on.
No. This is from Joseph. Joseph, thank you for the email. Thank you for taking the time to email.
do appreciate you getting in touch. I'm glad that you feel as passionate about Thrones as we do, hence you taking the time to get in touch. But it starts off, Jesus Christ, do you guys know anything about this show? It's infuriating how much stuff y'all get wrong. I'm sitting here listening to the Hard Home rewatch episode and screaming at my phone because you guys can't even get characters' names correct. Good Lord.
I don't know. Who did we get wrong on the Hard Home?
It would have been me. Look, let me clarify. You're dragging Chris into me. This would have been me because I always get people's names wrong. I've worked on Game of Thrones for nearly 10 years now. So with that in mind, Joseph, thank you very much for your email, but kindly get fucked.
Yeah, I mean, look, we don't have like a team of producers like editing us, do we?
We do not.
Fans first, and this second.
We do not. But I mean, get fucked in the nicest possible sense, of course.
Yeah, maybe we should. Maybe going into the sixth season, we should write down more notes. But you know, I think that's fine.
We're just casual conversationists.
Sorry, yeah. if that's the worst part of your day.
Yeah, I apologize.
I'm very sorry. Like we're just excitable. We're both excitable, and we egg each other on a bit. And
But anyway, so
let's get back to
Queen. What's her name?
Janice.
Janice.
I think there's only four kingdoms, actually. I thought the walk of shame, the atonement was really good. But you know, to get there, you have like 35 minutes of let's check in with everyone for one scene. And I just think, yeah, it's just a lot. And I think a lot of the stuff we loved about season 5 has been the big action set pieces. I think the character stuff has just been incinerated on contact.
Just on the Cersei walk of shame, that was her CGI'd head, as we now know.
And
when you watch back, you can it's got the longest neck in history. It's like a giraffe.
It's like a giraffe from The Last of Us.
It is. And I went and did you can do the walk of shame. It's an actual route. Normally, a lot of the kind of like places you see in Thrones are usually like hybrids of bits and pieces.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, I think the tower that Danny went in to fetch the dragons back is in Dubrovnik, but then the actual the bit that she walked into was in the desert in Malta or something. So, whereas actually the Walk of Shame is shot entirely in Dubrovnik,
right?
And it's an actual route that you can go on and take. It's quite a depressing tourist attraction, but it is one nonetheless. And those steps are rammoed in the old town of Dubrovnik, and it was great fun watching it, kind of thinking, and you can see like the awnings of one of the really nice gelato shop that they've just like they've just clearly just dirted the windows so you can't see all the ice cream in it. It's amazing.
There's one bit when I went to Barcelona on some trip with HBO, and like one, you know, when Cersei like blows up the Sept in season 6 with the wildfire. Most of that was done in one place. But then the scene where the bell smashes into the street, was done in Barcelona. So like,
it's mental, isn't it?
Yeah, we were doing this tour.
That's the attention
of, like,
to detail, isn't it? Because if you or I were doing that, you go, do we really have to go all the way to fucking Barcelona just to can we not just do it there? Let's just forget it.
Thrones had a very interesting, they had three units across the world doing, you know, normally you have like one, sometimes you have two. They had three working independently. So I think kind of what happened was, because a lot of this bit of Barcelona was used for Braavos. And so that team were like, they were radioed in being like, okay, now you need to just film, and then we're going to CGI a giant bell. So it's quite weird, isn't it? That they really stitched it together in quite a complicated way. But that was your highlight as well, that sort of atonement stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's an iconic Game of Thrones moment. And I remember it was pretty unexpected as well, having not read the books. And it was, I think, like you touched upon it there, that what makes it so extraordinary is that it goes on for so long, and actually it's allowed to breathe, and you
you know, the writers really decided, made the right call on, like, you know, this is all about breaking Cersei, or at least letting us think that Cersei's broken. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, the shame bell. Is that in the books, the shame bell? Or is that like a whole new...
Yeah, that's there, yeah.
So what, the repetition of shame?
Oh, I don't know, I can't remember. I presume so. I must have been. God, I'm going to get in trouble, aren't I? I can't remember is my honest answer, but I think that is all quite true to what happens, but I think I think it's fairly faithful. I think it's just a little bit, it's like even more gruesome, like it's a little bit more... I think they sort of toned it down... Weirdly,
for the show.
Okay. But all of that, where she meets, you know, the undead Sir Gregor, like that is all kind of in the book. And I just, this is what I mean when I say that they're sort of trying to keep the rhythm or the pace or the cadence, because they're like, and then she meets the guy that's gonna, you know, clearly what they're setting up at this point, which they don't end up doing, is she's gonna have a trial by combat. And she's got an undead guy who literally cannot be killed as her champion, right? So she's going to win. Yeah. And obviously that doesn't go anywhere, because by this season six, they're sort of like, oh, what if she just blows up the Sept, you know?
I mean, thank God, because I'm bored of trial by combats. They're a bit fucking weird, aren't they?
Yeah. There's a lot of things where this is it, right? It's being set up, and when you've got it in a chapter, you can skip a bit and you can kind of move forward. On a TV show, you are stuck watching it. And that is how I felt about... to sort of jump to the start of the episode, the Stannis stuff. Painful end to, like, a really interesting character and a really good...
Yeah, I was really... it didn't get any better. I mean, I loved the lead up to it.
Me too.
You know, it really documented his downfall. You know, he... Within 5 minutes, he was fucked. You know, the ice was melting... Melisandre was getting the horn from child murder. But then the sellswords deserted.
Yeah.
He found his wife in the tree. You know, he just...
And Melisandre just left. Melisandre left, which again is... feels for me,
that was
like,
the moment where he just... He was just crestfallen, wasn't he? That was it.
Yeah,
he
and I wish they'd... Yeah. Sort, maybe they did do it enough, I don't know. But, like, essentially it's like a suicide. It's like a kamikaze thing, right? He's just going to go out... with his head held high, like, try. He knows he's doomed to fail, and he just... And I wish that was communicated.
I think that was shown. Yeah, I think there was the moment where... Because there's that great shot, which is something Thrones have always done well, is, like, the actual... The tactics of war is really well displayed. Yeah. So you saw, like, the flanking of the horses coming around and all of that shot. And you saw Stannis, who was just like...
And
just pulled his sword out.
Yeah, let's get it over with. But it does feel like that whole thing, they could have done more with it, but also if it's not going to be a big storyline, then fine, I don't need to see a whole battle. But there's another thing that really...
It did just jump from that to kind of like inside a studio on a soundstage somewhere with him just leaning against a tree.
The thing that really made me laugh, though, was he was like, let's set up a siege. And I'm like, you are like... 300 meters away from Winterfell. Like, how have you got that close? You know, they've got like an army, and he's like, right, we're gonna dig a few trenches. I'm like, what? how have you done that? You know, but the other thing I would say, the thing that kind of bothers me is just like, not quite sure why Melisandre leaves.
Well, I've written that. Again, it's the chess game of Daniel and David, isn't it? It's like, right, well, we need
her
Melisandre to be in Castle Black to resurrect Jon.
Yeah.
So, and we need to kind of start fanning the flames of the Davos Melisandre hatred, and give Davos a bit of something to do now. That was the only reason I could think of. She just needed to be there for the start of season six.
You're right. The other thing I was going to say is like. The sellswords, like, just fucking off. Like, the whole thing is that they are in the middle of nowhere, and these guys have just gone, no, I'm going home. It's like,
going home.
Where? How are you going?
4 months. It's 4 months away, but that's just...
The whole point is that you are between... You are in the middle of nowhere, and they're like, yeah, we're going to go. Like, you... How? Where are you going? I don't understand
it. It's easier to stay, guys. Yeah.
It's easier just... You've come this far, and now you're like, well... You know, I just think now is the time for me to go back and focus on my mental health and just have some me time.
We need to salute Aemond. Aemond Targaryen. We missed his
death scene. Yeah.
I know. It was a great death scene as well, if I remember right.
Mm, and a funeral. Really nice. They burn the body and stuff, don't they?
Yeah. I think. God bless him.
So Sam sort of says to John, like, I need to, like, leave. I need to quit the Night's Watch to go and do a PhD because I need to learn stuff, like, really quickly. I couldn't get over the fact that they didn't have a contingency plan for when the, like, 200-year-old, like, bookworm eventually dies. Like, guys, you've had
there's no successor.
100 years to train someone up, and they just thought, no, I think the one we've got is probably fine. So right, Sam is going to Old Town with Gilly and baby Sam to learn. Literally, like, just hurry up and learn as much as you can.
So, my thoughts on, because I'd written down that, it's like, why is it such a weird, again, a bit of a weird scene? I know it's like setting up two things. Was it more to get him out of the way for John's murder?
Yeah.
I guess it had to be, because if you'd like to think Sam would have thrown himself in front of John, I think he probably would have done, had he been there. And also, but what did he actually learn, Sam? Didn't he learn how to cure Greyscale and John's heritage?
Yes. And he also, you know, we meet his family next season, who then Daenerys kills, and then that turns him against her. But I think it's also part of it. Again, he goes in the book, so it's like, off you pop. But yeah, there's got to be an element of, again, it's like shaking it up slightly. Like, what if you go somewhere else? It would be good for you to go somewhere else. But, you know, I think if John had had Sam there, when they're like, oh, yeah, one of the rangers, like, met Benjen in Hardhome, and one of the wildlings met Benjen in Hardhome, and he'd go, that sounds like bullshit. And I think the reason that John is sort of led over there is because he is kind of isolated and he's not really got anyone.
Can we stand up and also give praise to the fact that a hood in Westeros renders you completely indistinguishable from your everyday demeanour?
Sansa
sticking a hood on very poorly, ginger hair flowing through it, sticks a hood on, just wanders around.
And I was like looking around the corners like, oh yeah, you don't look suspicious. Do you know what I wrote in my, I did make some notes. She looks like the woman in the Scottish Widow adverts. You know, when she's like...
Amanda Lamb.
Hiking her skirt up and like... I was like, she's going to tell me to get insurance against my husband. That's what she's going to do.
All she needed was a bloody corkscrew.
Okay, this is crazy because we didn't watch the episode in question, but like 3 episodes ago, she like stole a corkscrew, right? This is a plot point. She steals the corkscrew, and I thought... At the time, oh, you're going to like kill someone
stab
with it.
Ramsay.
No, she just picks the lock with it 3 episodes later. And I was like, God, you guys really thought this is like this sort of Chekhov's corkscrew. I thought this is going to be really important. And it just wasn't. But the thing that I really laughed at in this episode was, and again, my knowledge of this is hazy because we've not watched the whole season, but she's leaving a signal in the window, right?
Oh, yeah, that's my... infuriating.
This storyline is ridiculous.
It's crazy. It's because wild. Brienne and Podrick have been at the top of the hill or wherever there is they are.
Yeah.
For a few weeks waiting. Yeah. And the signal, so they've got an inside person who's inside saying, as soon as I get Sansa out, the signal to you will be a light in this window. Okay?
Yeah.
At which point Brienne is to, who the fuck knows, do what? Because there's a massive wall there. It can't get in. Anyway, and then of course, like, Brienne, completely out of character. This is Brienne, the most Jobsworth person in the fucking whole Game of Thrones universe, who has travelled the length and breadth of the country at least 4 times by now because she swore an oath to someone who's dead.
Yeah.
Gets drops her guard and fucks off from her mark because Podrick says he spotted Stannis Baratheon.
Yeah, basically.
Would never have happened. Never, ever. She would have gone, I made an oath to Lady Stark.
Like, one time you turn around, she's like, put the signal out and you're just like, oh, I missed it. Turns out...
I'd also like to question the luminance of that candle in the daytime to be visible. One single tiny candle in a lamp to be visible
from... How
does
she know...
At least two, yeah. 3 miles
so
away.
So am I right in thinking that Sansa goes to... There's like a sort of a watchtower, one of the towers with an external window.
Yeah.
It's not her bedroom, it's nothing like that. Yeah. So there was a woman who was doing this, like a northern, like north... Sorry, let me start again. There was a woman who was like Team Stark till I die, and then she got like killed, didn't she? Like she got flayed alive, and you know.
That's right. Yeah.
So Sansa's taken over, and but I just find that it's all well and good if it comes through and it pays off, but all of this convoluted storyline, she does put the signal in the window, and Brienne doesn't fucking see it. And then Brienne doesn't even go to the castle. In the end, Theon and Sansa have to jump off a fucking parapet.
And let's talk about that for a second, please. So,
I know.
How do they jump off the fucking parapet and they either not die or shatter their hips and shins? Yeah. We saw like the nasty arrow.
Miranda, I think she's called Miranda.
Miranda, that was it. Getting thrown off very easily by Theon, but yet they jump off the same wall
into like a substantial snowdrift. But like, unless it's like powder snow, even if it does,
unless it's powder snow 40 foot deep, like a fucking
Theon thing. I've just really think like there's no logic to it at all, and. Because he's the one that dobs her in. He's with Miranda, right? He's like turned on Sansa again, and she's like, "Oh, you know." Theon's going, "You have to go back. You have to go back. Listen to her." So Theon has been like quite consistently loyal, and then 30 seconds later, he's like, "I might just push her over the railing." But the reason,
was there anything in that speech? Was there anything in that speech that Sansa gave or that Miranda gave?
It was just that I'm going to mute. You're going to get mutilated, even, but we're going to keep you intact so you can give birth to an heir, and then we'll keep. But he knew
you're
all
just
that.
Be a
also,
vessel
you know,
for heirs.
Not to be too like it should be. There should be. He should be more wounded, but like he has been brainwashed to think that he deserved all of this, and so surely he's got Stockholm syndrome. Surely he's like probably better if she just sits and takes it. You know, his decision to intervene now feels so odd. But again, Sansa doesn't marry Ramsay in the books, but Theon jumps off the walls with someone else in the book, into the snow, and it is just taken, like, with a pinch of salt, they survive, and that's that. So they, you know, this is what I mean when I say they have all these big moments that they want to sort of do lip service to or not sort of get wrong, but the result is like, what the fuck is going on with any of this? Bear in mind that Bran and Rickon escaped Winterfell through the tunnels or some sort of crypt system. Why don't you have them go out that way? Or also, I actually think when I was sort of making some notes this morning that like Ramsay being like, okay, that's done, off back to my wife. That's a good way to end. Like, it's good to know to not know where what the state of things are with Sansa, to think, oh shit, he's going back, and then start season 6 with her like escaping. I think that would have been so cool. But
yeah, true.
They're playing very loyally to a lot of the stuff in the source material, and that is sort of something that we do see change.
Maybe they just God knows. Who knows?
I thought Brienne and Stannis, I thought was better than I remember. I liked that.
It was really well acted.
And you know, that's something that they've made for the show, and I think they've realised the importance of tying that up and moving on. You know, I like that. Brienne does get some, not retribution, but she gets to sort of cross a name off her list, as it were. But she calls Renly the rightful king, and he wasn't. And I kept thinking Stannis would, even if he was like mortally wounded.
Stannis was the rightful king.
Yeah, Stannis would be like, I was the rightful king, not my brother, actually. But I remember, do you remember at the time though, when she sort of slashes at the camera and it cuts away and everyone was like, oh, he's not dead. He's not dead.
For years. For years.
Yeah.
We thought we were going to get Lady Stoneheart and Stannis back for season 8, mate. That's what we all thought.
I just thought, why would you not show him get killed?
I'll tell you what, we've already crammed a lot in. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back right after a word from our sponsors.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
Welcome back to Dragoncast Season 5. It's episode 30, 31, 30, something like that. Rewatch of Game of Thrones Season 5, Episode 10, Mother's Mercy. We then head over to Braavos for a good... God, it felt like a whole episode just on Arya, but it was probably only maximum 7 or 8 minutes.
I was going to say about 8 minutes of... Yeah, but this is a storyline that, like, in this episode, but also leading up to... It's had room to breathe, and, like, I really felt like they didn't rush it, and I felt like it really... I don't remember loving it first time around, but on the rewatch, I really enjoyed the storyline, and... One of the things I particularly enjoyed, I thought at the time I was like, oh, it's so like bloody and violent. But what I noticed watching this was that like by the end, Arya's very sort of stylish and like she is like when she kills the Freys, it's done with a lot of drama and a lot of like teasing. And this is not that. This is like, she stabs him in the eyes really quickly. She stabs him in the stomach. She stuffs his mouth. It's all really slapdash and just violent. And she's not become the assassin that she'll get to. No. And she's also not, you know, by the time she's like back at Winterfell and she's got this weird kind of like haunted energy to her, like she's not got that. It's so intense and feral, and at the time I didn't appreciate that because I thought it was just like they just loved violence. But I think it's intentional that it just burst out of her.
Yeah, she's not learned her craft yet. Yeah, exactly.
No, because I think she's even probably like, oh, I wish I hadn't stabbed his eyes out because I'd like him to see me.
Kill him.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you can almost see her being like, "Say my name," or "Do you know who I am?" And then she's like, "Oh shit, I've stuffed his mouth or something."
I really enjoyed it. I thought, you know, Ian Beattie, the friend of Dragoncast, it's a good death. It's a good way to go, even though Ian may not much have enjoyed playing a pedo. I can't imagine.
It must have been awful. I mean, that must have been awful to
film. Yeah. Like, I mean, have I really got to whip this 7-year-old girl's arse? Is that really what
was, punch her in the stomach?
It was like miserable. So well done for him to have to play someone so horrible.
It's really, really awful. But you know, last week I said, oh, I wish they don't have to make him a nonce to justify him being killed by Arya. But this scene, it was really good. It was really effective.
Yeah, and you were desperate for him to die.
I don't want to say I take it back, but you kind of go, it's not enough that she has a grudge with you from like, you know, 5 years ago, 4 years ago or whatever. It is sort of helpful that he's continued to become
more evil. There's a purpose to the assassination,
And that's why she offends Jaqen H'ghar and the Acolyte.
So he was...
because...
So he kind of said that, that he wasn't someone who had asked to die, or was he wasn't someone who was ready
yeah,
to die.
Yeah,
actually, I'd argue that he probably was, but I guess he just meant that it wasn't her, it wasn't her job.
The, yeah, we've talked a little bit about how there's religious fundamentalism on this show, and I think the House of Black and White is ostensibly a religion, but also really, really wealthy people can pay for people to be killed. And so it's the process of there being like just cause is bullshit, because it's like if they get paid to kill someone, the god wants it.
Yeah.
But then people can go to the house and drink out of that fountain and go and lie down and die if they want. But you've got to have money to do it. And so it's such bullshit that I can see why Arya is like, but
that fountain's so weird. Why can't, I mean, there's a million ways, there's a million dumb ways to die, as the song says. Why?
It's the, I think it's okay. I'm actually going to just put a warning here.
Okay.
Chris is speculating.
Okay.
Chris is speculating klaxon.
Okay.
Speculation klaxon. I think the Mother's Mercy is the name of the poison that they put in the water. And it's painless, and it doesn't kind of... It's like a you die very sort of peacefully, and then they probably yet use your face in.
Well, that's what I thought. Is it like a donor card? Do you just kind of like
a bit like that? Yeah, but have my spleen. But what I was going to speculate on is, Olenna gets given a poison that doesn't make her suffer, and it's very painless. That could be the same poison, or I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, the idea that this this religion or this sort of following is based in any kind of faith is just horseshit. And obviously Arya's like, morally it's right to kill someone evil, and they're like, not the business model for this corporation. Yeah. Like, read the terms and conditions. And but again, I think like they sort of steal her eyes, which again is like eye for an eye, but it happens in the books and it's really interesting, but it's like on the show it was just like, oh, okay, you're blind now. Like, again, everyone gets this big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if you need that.
Yeah, I mean,
in such an extreme way.
It's a bit, do you know what it reminded me of? There's a, I can't remember what, it's a bit Luke Skywalker having to find the Force where he puts the visor over his face. It's a bit of a trope. And I'm sure there's been loads of like similar montages of people having to train a skill by heightening all their other senses and removing their sight. It's a pretty, it's a pretty standard thing. But yeah, I think reminded me, I thought it's quite Harry Pottery. The House of Black and White.
It's quite dungeony, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's quite.
But even
all
you know, the spells and the peeling of the faces and the actual the setting of where all the faces are kept.
It's
really kind of Hogwartsy. But
it's fascinating. I've liked the Bravo stuff, and I think next season again, like when she sort of does all that stuff with the traveling
actors. Circus.
It's really fun, actually, and I'm really excited to see it because, again, it's like...
Well, tough shit, because I bet you those aren't chosen. Battle of the Bastards, fucking whatever the finale was.
Hold the Door.
And a filler.
Oh, we got Hold the Door. Yeah. Oh, my God. Hold the Door is so good.
If we don't get Hold the Door, I'm just going to stop the podcast, so just... Yeah, but it's your choice, listeners.
Anyway.
It's just your choice. The highlight of the whole episode, I'm sure you'll agree.
I know where this is going.
You know where this is going. I thought we were going to miss it. We finally got it. You like a good girl, but you love the bad pussy. We got the bad pussy line. From the worst characters in the whole series.
Listen, I am not a prude, okay? But you would not say that near your mum.
You would.
You just wouldn't. It's so...
Do you mean bad as in good? Or are you saying that you've actually got a bad pussy? I don't understand.
Like it's gone off.
It's just gone off.
It's so awful. And Doran Martell, who was like the fucking, you know, ruler... He barely gets a bloody word in this series, and then they kill him in the next episode. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
That is... I'm not going to repeat myself anymore about these cliffhangers, but what is... Also, there was barely any antidote in that bottle. That was like two droplets.
It's a very potent antidote.
Do you know, if that was
me... It must have been a tiny amount of poison, though.
If that was like me, I'd get the poison on my lipstick, do the facial kiss, get the bottle out from my cleavage, get down my face. I think, has anyone got any more? Has anyone got any more antidote? I'd drop it.
Come on,
I'd trip it because there was floorboards sort of on the port. I thought, oh God, I've dropped it down the gap.
So, I did. The only redemptive bit of that whole thing, I did like the Jamie and Marcella scene.
Yeah, I did actually.
I thought a brief moment, Jamie was truly happy. He was at ease with himself. With he'd finally come clean to one of his kids, and they still loved him, and it kind of really meant a lot to him. I think that probably goes some way to Jamie's the rest of Jamie's arc moving forward. It must have been pretty crushing for him to do that, and also the juxtaposition of Jamie being honest and coming clean about his incestuous relationship with Cersei, and then straight after that, or at least pretty soon after that, Cersei resolutely, absolutely not coming clean about it. Was quite good. What happened to the husband? Did he just get killed? Did Cersei just kill him? Yeah.
Tristan, the guy that Marcella's engaged to.
Yeah. What happened to him? Did they just send him back, or did they kill him? Or
on the boat, I think.
Yeah, yeah, but after what was his fate? Did Cersei just have him offed?
I think he gets killed on the boat in the next episode, maybe. I think he's still around.
Yeah, I know he's still around now. I just couldn't remember what happened to him.
I can't remember. I think they just by next season they're just like, I just need to get this storyline done.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. The Jamie Marcella thing was really sweet, and I thought he felt like, you know, it's incest, so let's not be too kind to it. But there's something about him almost like coming out as like,
yeah,
you know, he feels seen for the first time. It's okay. It's like, you know, you're my dad. Like, it's all, I thought, weirdly poignant. And I think maybe House of the Dragon, the pro incest show, has maybe softened our resolve to like, hey, they're just a couple of siblings who really like each other.
Mate, there are parts of Britain that are still soft on that kind of thing.
Listen, it was a simpler time.
it still is in many places.
I think what would have made it feel more kind of impactful is just, I mean, Nell Tiger-Free, who plays Marcella this season, she's obviously, the character's been recast. So these two guys have barely been on screen. So it's not quite the same as if even he had this conversation with Tommen, who we've...
Or Joffrey
or something like that. But yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was really, really good. I'd have loved to have had
that conversation between him and Joffrey. Would have been fucking amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting.
Imagine Joffrey's
isn't it?
Face if he'd found out he was the result of incest. Oh, that would have been fucking dynamite.
But you know, Joffrey, it's so interesting because Jaime only comes back to King's Landing around the time Joffrey dies. Like, they don't actually spend a lot of time together as characters.
No.
And so there's a lot of this I'm noticing where there's new combinations, but it's like, oh yeah, we never really had... Marcella never gets to interact with her other siblings as an adult. You know, it's all kind of missed opportunities in that way. But yeah, Braavos... Yeah. sorry, not Braavos. So Dawn... Yeah, we have... A little bit more next season, next episode, a little bit at the end of season 6, I think.
And good riddance to him.
Good riddance.
And then, oh, goodness me. And then we head over to see Danny.
Yeah.
Which is just I could never really get my head around the point of all this. Really. So, the Drogon thing's a bit stupid.
Mm.
So we see her. That's clearly where he's been nesting all of that time.
Yeah.
You know, there's the remains of all of the animals and it's kind of ashed, this crater. Whereas, so are we to believe that he just happened to be going past as the Sons of Harpy attacked?
Oh, that's a good point.
Because it's fucking miles away.
Yeah, north as well.
It's absolutely miles away.
It might be that also, I mean, if he's anything, he might be more that, like, they have lots of nesting spots. Like, he might have, you know.
Maybe.
He might not be one. But in either case, he's flown. had a lie down, not getting back up. I did love the shots of her, the aerial shots of her getting on him and getting sort of kicked off. I thought it was just such an odd angle and such an odd sort of framework that I just thought it was really, I was like, oh, this is really cool. I've never really seen a shot like this. Why would you shoot a dragon from above? But it's probably because, I don't know if you've noticed, and I certainly haven't noticed compared to the House of the Dragon dragons, but Drogon has got huge arms. You know, he's like, he's hench. He's, and it obviously, like, it must be a person doing the, you know, the the actions, right? But I kept watching one bit and thinking, my God, he just looks like an adult man with, like, two umbrellas glued to his arms. And so I just thought it's even funnier if you imagine her just on top of this, like, adult male sort of, like, climbing around.
Well, she was always on a, wasn't she always on, like, a gym horse or something like that?
Yeah,
like a vault.
Yeah.
The vault thing.
But, yeah, so he takes her over there and she climbs, clearly climbs down that sort of flat plateau that she was on. Wanders around looking for something, gets caught by...
She speaks to Drogon in English.
I picked up on that too, it's really weird.
Make your minds up, come on. You know, that we know, because you fucking told us, that she has to speak to them in High Valyrian.
Or she's chosen to. She's trained them. I don't think they're bilingual.
So she's wondering why he's not responding to her. It's because she's going, come on, mate. Oi, oi.
He's literally come like, on. I don't Tally-o. Speak Giddy English. Up.
Yeah, he's like, me no comprende.
I thought the line that made me laugh was when she was like, you could have at least brought me some supper. And like, where I'm from, you do not say supper. It's obviously like a South England
You do
thing.
Not, yeah, you say supper in the South of England. It's the only place on earth but where supper is
I was
used.
Like, do you know when you just hear something and you're like, do people in Westeros say supper? It just sounded
I'd written exactly that
call
as well.
Call the midwife exactly or something. Like, you could at least get me some supper.
It's like, do you mean a charred goat? Is that what it's called? Yeah.
Sorry, Danny. Sorry, it's not on like a nice plate for you. You know, we are in the middle of nowhere.
Those cliffs where that shot is 20 minutes drive from Belfast in a farm. They do let you go and stand on the cliff's edge if you want.
Bring your own supper, though.
It's good. Bring your own supper.
So,
It's look for your wedding ring.
Is it just littered with people dropping their jewellery as a sort of symbolic gesture?
Exactly. Waiting for some muscly men.
It's funny because
there's
like lots of grass in parts of Essos, and I think it's called like the Dothraki Sea or the Great Grass Sea is something that she's used as one of her titles. So there is a lot of like, it's not just a desert, but I feel like it is almost the first time we've not seen her just surrounded by like sandstorms. And that again lifted almost verbatim out of the books, which they feel they need to show, they need to sort of do that. But I kind of would have really loved them to have had the boldness to just not have her in this episode and for us to go, where is she?
Wonder what she's doing. They could have just picked up that next season. Now I can't remember, I'm sure you can fill me in, why is she there with the Dothraki? Does she enroll them into her
kidnap her just because she's walking around, you know?
Yeah, because she's just
like
a Doris.
So many different tribes or chapters of the Dothraki. It's like the Wildlings.
Yeah.
So a rival group has seen her and captured her, and she does the thing that she did with Khal Drogo's Dothraki, which is that she wins them over with pure force, but she does it with fire. She kind of burns loads of them alive, and then the rest of them, you know, they only know raw power. She uses them to sort of scare them later on. She sets light to the tent, and in the next episode, she kind of brings them all together, and like Drogon flies down, and they're sort of all a bit like, fuck, like she's, you know, I mean, like in the sort of rock, paper, scissors, like a dragon beats a horse,
she's
right?
A witch.
They're a bit like, you know, because like Dothraki like literally sleep with their horses in like a bed. Like they're so obsessed with horses. Yeah. And they're like, wow, this is like a horse, but like on crack. It's like a mega horse.
Horse with wings and fire.
And I really love all that stuff. Yeah. It's really good. That scene where she just pushes all the fucking candles over and just sets the place. It's really good. And I'm saying this, I'm like, I did not realize how much I loved season 6, but
Yeah. You watch. By the time we get to season 8, you'll be like, oh my God, this Daenerys bit is amazing.
The Long Night. Love it.
Hey, I will not have anything said about The Long Night, my friend. Ooh, that's going to be a life.
No, I actually thought that was, there's loads of great things in the episode, I would say. Mm. There's some stuff I love where there's loads of like Arya like running through the library and stuff, and it's all very like horror, isn't it? Like, I think really looking forward to watching that one.
Yeah, same. If ever I'd need a Game of Thrones quick fix, it's quite often The Long Night that I put on.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do you know the one I love? Do you know actually one of my favourite ever, it's not controversial, not unusual, one of my favourite bits is when Daenerys attacks Jaime and the Tarly forces in season 7.
Oh, yeah, where they go into the water with the treasure chest. Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. Because it's just like, she has all the Dothraki and then she's flying on Drogon. It is just like, unreal. Yeah. It's like a war proper film.
It's like a Western.
Exactly. We're just in this sticky sort of middle point where they just have so much to do, and I think everyone's knocking it out of the park, but it's just not coagulating into like a... I was just thinking this morning, like, when we've been watching like season 1 and season 2, they're very thematically led, whereas this is just like... bang, 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 bang. And it's hard. I don't know how you would tie all this together in the way that you do in the early seasons.
It's very easy for us to go, it's too busy. I don't know quite how else they would have done it. It is a tricky one.
The pressure to sort of follow... Yeah, and the pressure to follow up from the Red Wedding, to make everything a moment. I think that is something that... There's been pieces written about it that, you know, just the need to raise the stakes when there isn't a real... There's no Red Wedding this season. Hard Home kind of is kind of up there, but like that was 2 episodes ago.
Battle. It was a fight, and it was also more tantalising than an than.
And I think
there was no immediate aftermath from Hard Home.
Exactly, because it is exactly it. That's exactly the point. Is that John's like, well, if they all climb the wall, we're fucked, and you're kind of like, right, but they can't do that.
Yeah.
So like, we're still like, I am.
At which point, watching Game of Thrones, did you start thinking the Night King's going to get a dragon? I think it was around this time for me. I didn't
had no idea.
Didn't you? Oh, I started.
No, I don't.
I remember the producers of Thronecast. We were all kind of like, he's going to fucking get one of them dragons because it's the only way he's going to get over the water, blah, 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 blah. It's the only way he's going to be able to fight.
Right. Yeah.
You know. I think it was that line that where John says, as long as they can't climb the wall, and actually ends up being the dragon that destroys the wall, right?
Yeah, he burns the whole fucking, cleaves the whole bit off. I mean, we've got a season. Season 7 will be round before we know it, but like, I really hated all of that. I thought just the dumbest.
The Irish dragon?
Yeah. It's just...
Oh, I loved it.
But it's great television, but you know, and you're like, why would you take a dragon over the wall to the bit where they can reanimate dead stuff? It's just... And then the fucking...
Spear. Yes.
Throwing the spear. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah, hang on a sec. Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
And then they've gone, don't worry. We live in the middle of nowhere and we've just got like 60 foot of chains that we've somehow attached to the dragon that's gone into a deep... How?
All right. Ice dragon.
I know.
Yeah, but ice dragon, Chris.
My point would also... I would say is what even happens to the ice dragon at the end? Does he get shattered? Does he get... What?
Yeah.
I can't remember. But
he would have done, wouldn't he?
Stand by my point, though. I'm warmer to the back half of this than I remember. Season 6, I think, is going to be really great. I think the highs of season 7, the character stuff in season 7, the new combinations, it is really, really good. It's just time's running out and it's stressful. There's so much to do. So, yeah.
It is stressful. Okay. And then we're back to... Then we're back at King's Landing for Cersei's 80 quid Tony and Guy haircut. And we've already kind of like
We've already done all that.
Why do they cut her hair? Is it if it's for...
just to shame her?
Right.
You clearly, Chris, I can tell you're a homosexual now.
Yeah.
The worst thing you could do to a woman is cut the hair. My God.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Well, especially with that rusty blade.
They'd rather lose a limb. They'd rather lose a limb.
She looks great, though.
But it did look... Well, this is it. I was looking at that going... Actually, that was done to be, like, the worst haircut ever back in 2015 or whenever it was. But now... Well, yeah. That's 80 quid in Tony and Guy.
Yeah.
And you'd wear a trucker's cap with it. And
well, I thought in the cell, when they're hacking at it with a rusty blade, it looked really dry. And then when she comes down those steps and it's been sort of zhuzhed out, it was like something out of Queer Eye. She's sort of like walking down, and I thought, yeah, she looks great. They've managed to dye it to like a sort of, I don't know, like a caramel latte colour. And I thought, oh my God, yeah. It's gone down a shade. Yeah.
And then the finale, the big shock to anyone that hadn't.
Oh my God, we haven't even talked about Jon Snow.
No, exactly. So Melisandre arrives at Castle Black. And she looks pretty broken. Davos looks pretty angry, as you would expect. And then it just really jumped very quickly into, it just got the fuck on with it. It was just nighttime. Like, quick, come quick, Uncle Benjen's here. Which they didn't really need to. I don't really understand. There's no real need to do all of that. They could have literally all just walked in and killed him. You know, it didn't need that ceremony, that kind of like, ha 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 ha. They could have just all crowded into where he was reading all of those. I wonder what those, the crow messages were.
Wasn't he about to send messages to giving the warning of for help?
Yeah, that was it. The warning of the.
I didn't. I should have paused it to check, but I'm sure that's what he's doing.
I mean,
and they all say for the watch,
for the watch,
shank him.
Good death scene. You know, it was. I remember being absolutely just like, oh my fucking good God, because I just no one that hadn't read the books was expecting that, because it was Jon Snow.
No, no. I just thought also, I was like, how do you do it? Like, how is it going to... Because it's like, he's bleeding the fuck out. Like, and I guess my point is, he dies and he gets brought back. Whereas in the book, you're sort of like, is he... I think he's dying.
Right, okay. So he's just left bleeding out. There's no...
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think the shock of seeing him die... was immediately kind of like, oh, okay, so we've got the Band of Brothers. Is that what they're called, the Band of Brothers? Yeah, isn't it? Derek Dondarrion, those guys.
Brotherhood Without Banners.
Brotherhood Without Banners. The Band of Brothers, the fucking Spielberg war thing. Sorry, Joseph. you immediately go, well, how could they... He can't be dead, surely, because it's Jon fucking Snow and R&L equals J. So how are they gonna do this? Ah, well, Melisandre's there, but then, oh shit! And Melisandre, she believes in the same God as the Brotherhood Without Banner. Oh,
yeah,
okay, fine.
I can see
all of a sudden there's a very simple path there. The cultural impact that it had was just. I mean, it went to a next level. You talk about No Red Wedding, but actually at the time this was.
Yeah, you're right. Actually,
for a lot of people.
Right. You're right. That's a fair point. It's sort of like... Because if he's dead, you sort of go, yeah, I can see why he would get killed. But it's no different to Rob or Catelyn or Ned getting killed for doing
exactly.
the right thing.
Well, that's why no one really knew. It's kind of like, they wouldn't do that. Oh, yeah, actually.
And you're like, oh, it makes sense because like all the really important characters, like Sam's left and, you know, so maybe it becomes... Maybe that's how the White Walkers get in, is that they've just got a load of shitheads running the wall.
Yeah.
That it sort of works. I thought also would say Kit Harington has done such a good job in season 5. Yeah. Wasn't the easiest character to do anything interesting with. And I think this season he really becomes like action hero. And I think like, yeah, it's really interesting to watch him get more and more layers to the character and and more sort of perspective on him.
Kit was great at John. He was really good, you know? Especially in the later series,
I really enjoyed him. You know, he becomes the audience. Really, is the moral compass of the whole thing, and he never really wavers. But you know, he's also annoyingly got that sense of duty. The same, there's a little bit of Brienne in there, isn't it? Where you know, we all want him just to go and kind of live happily ever after with Sansa and Daenerys and Arya and Bran and everybody. But he'd rather just go and fucking traipse around with a load of wildings for the rest of his time.
And he kind of, there's an element, I think, of like resenting the fact that he's the only one in his group that has any virtue. He's like, I don't want to have to be the bad guy, but like, look at the, like, I'm following logic here. Like, we have to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And I think I'm really looking forward to seeing that him and Danny stuff's very interesting. Cause I think in hindsight, she wants a completely different thing to him. So this sort of romance is completely doomed. Yeah. He doesn't want to be anywhere near King's Landing.
It always felt like a bit of a reluctant romance anyway, didn't it?
Yeah, well, I think they had to sort of make it look convincing. They wanted to make it look more convincing than it was. I wish it had been a little bit more like...
Because there was that moment where...
Animosity.
There was that moment where they shagged on a boat, didn't they? They're on the way to Dragonstone.
Yeah,
that's
when Bran finds out... Sam finds out that they're related, basically.
Yeah, at the same time. But then there's that weird scene where Tyrion is like listening to them shagging. Do you remember? Like, oh my god, what's
Tyrion? Tyrion, it starts to make a lot less sense. Like going forward, they just don't know what to do with someone too smart for the storyline. Like it's like a lot of the things that happen. It's like Tyrion would advise against this, but. He makes all those like really bad decisions in season 7, so Daenerys sort of ignores him because he's like, but it's like, anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, cracking episode, cracking season. Really thoroughly enjoyed that. I know a few people have been saying, how can we need to do 4 episodes? Do we though? Really? Should we have a quick look? Because the tweet the. The votes will be open in a day or two on @dragoncast_pod for you to vote on which episodes we discuss from season 6. So let's just go through those episodes and just be a bit pragmatic about, do we need to do 4? I'd like to think not, but let's see where we got. So episode 1 is The Red Woman.
I don't think it's that interesting. I think it's lot of setup.
Let's have a look. The Red Woman is just... Well, John comes back to life, doesn't he? That's
episode 2.
Oh, is it? Oh, so it is, yeah. Darren O'Harris and the gang are looking for Daenerys. Yeah, it's a bit set up. Nothing really happens there. But, you know, if you want one of the extras in there, then by all means vote for it. 2 is Home. John wakes up right at the end of that. We get the Greyjoys, we go to the Iron Islands. Roose Bolton, that brilliant. I love the actress that played Roose Bolton's wife.
She's good.
Gave him a male heir. Bran starts getting flashbacks, sees Lyanna. We start seeing a few glimpses of the Tower of Joy. Then 3 is Oathbreaker. Sam visits his home. Doesn't have much fun there.
Episode 3 is also the one where the Night's Watch who stabbed Jon will get hung, which is quite exciting.
Oh, that is good, isn't it? Scene. Alistair Thorne finally bites the bullet.
And Ollie.
Four is Book of the Stranger. Sansa, Brienne and Podrick arrive at Castle Black. So if we get a reunion with Sansa and Jon, which is nice.
I think Marjorie's 4 doesn't seem like a ton of stuff happens as well.
Not a massive...
The door seems like... we should absolutely throw our weight behind that one because it's such a good episode.
Yeah, so the door episode 5 is the Hold the Door episode. I mean, one of the most brilliant moments of Game of Thrones. Just so lovely. Mm-hmm. So sad. And also, obviously, my favourite parts, it's Bran, it's the wall, it's the visions, it's all that shit.
Yeah.
All that shit that no one else likes, but I do.
the whistle in about the White Walkers being created. Episode 6, Blood of My Blood. They escape. Mira escapes with Bran. We get a bit of Walder Frey.
Sam meets his family that episode, which is a really good. I like all that stuff at Horn Hill, which is where the Tarleys are. That's nice.
Yeah.
If we do episode 7, The Broken Man, we'll get to see Bella Ramsey.
Oh, so we will. Amazing.
Not necessarily enough to get it. The storyline with... Oh, yeah, Ian McShane. Remember, Ian McShane is in
well, he's
in
the guy that finds the hound, season. Right? He's only in it for, like, 2 episodes, isn't he?
I think, yeah, he's like a... Yeah.
Where the fuck is that?
I kind of forgot he was in it.
Yeah, he's in it for, like, very... Not for long, like, 1 or 2 episodes, maybe. He just, like, saves the hound's life, doesn't he? And there's no real any mention of the hound at all yet, actually. Where... Excuse me, I'm just having a look through.
It's not
mentioned on the Wikipedia yet at all. Oh, it's episode 7. So that's... He has a very quiet... Benjen's in episode 6, Blood of My Blood, as well.
Oh, great. Love him.
Love a bit of Benjen. 7 the Hound and Ian McShane. House Mormont, bit of that. There's a bit of Bronn and Jaime. And the Tullys, Theon and Yara spend the last night in Volantis, blah, 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 blah. Arya gets stabbed by the Waif in that one. Mm-hmm. Then 8 is No One, which is obviously the big Arya episode where she frees herself of the House of Black and White. We also get Daenerys returning with the Dothraki. The Hound has a good episode in that. Where shit goes on with the Brotherhood of Banners. Mm-hmm. 9 is Battle of the Bastards, say no more. 10 is Winds of Winter.
Really good episode, Winds of Winter.
Which is great, which is...
Arya's chase through... Oh no, Arya kills Walder Frey in the finale.
Yeah, Arya... Is that this one, is it?
Yeah, she kills Walder Frey in the finale, and then in the first episode of season 7, she kills the rest of House Frey.
Oh, okay, right, got you. So this is where Cersei, the bell, the Barcelonian bell.
Yeah. I haven't seen the bell, I've seen the subsequent street.
And then we learn, as a viewer, we learn of Jon Snow's birth.
Yeah.
It's the tower, it's the flashback to the Tower of Joy with Ned and Lyanna.
Yeah.
So,
okay, so...
Lots. Do we?
There is a lot. There's a lot. I think there's a lot of action, yeah. But I think even some of these episodes that are like the Ian McShane sort of self-contained thing is kind of cool. I think we're fairly spoiled for choice. I'm going to trust the process. In my head, it's going to be The Door, Battle of the Bastards and Winds of Winter. If there is enough justification for a fourth.
Yeah. Well,
I would like to see it because I think there's some. I just think there's other. There's slower episodes.
I'm going to be quite controversial, and say that we could probably do without Battle of the Bastards. And I know that's a bit of a weird one. And
hey,
I just
say it.
I just think it's just a battle. It's fucking great to watch. It's brilliant to watch, but it doesn't really service the plot. Or we can talk about. You know, look, we'll trust the process, but.
Trust the process.
It will just be me and Chris just going, yeah, it's fucking great, won't it?
And I remember not liking it that much. So, Do you know what I will say about Battle of the Bastards? It has a really good scene where Daenerys meets Theon and Yara, where they sail to her.
That's true.
Remember, but Yara and her are having sort of.
I think there are more interesting episodes in this season to do a rewatch of other than Battle of the Bastards.
I agree. But if people want to watch it with us.
But I think we'll just do 3. I think.
Yeah, okay. That's fine.
Unless there's like, if the votes are really close, then we'll do 4. But I think there's plenty there with 3. And I wouldn't be unhappy if Battle of the Bastards wasn't one of them. That's all I'll say.
I'm really excited to see. I'm really, really tempted to watch the whole season.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Any yet.
Same. I do. I
maybe,
do.
Maybe 7 and 8 because they're smaller. I might watch all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Brilliant
I'm
stuff.
I'm really excited. Really excited.
Yeah. Same. Right, gang. We've got lots to do. So we've got OA part 2, episodes 3 and 4 will be out on Thursday. We've got a Last of Us episode coming out tomorrow with Gabrielle Luna, who plays Tommy. So you've done well out of us this week. So we're gonna bid you farewell right now, actually. Chris Dracaris.
If you'd like to get involved in the podcast, just head over to Twitter at @DragonCast_pod or email DragonCast@daftdoris.com and leave us your Easter eggs, predictions and thoughts on the show. You can also watch this episode over on our YouTube channel. Just search for DragonCast Jamie East. Any support, whether it's a follow, a share, a mention to your friend on the bus or a tattoo on your backside, is very much appreciated. DragonCast is hosted by me, Jamie East, along with Chris Mandel, and is a Daft Doris production. Dracaris.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.